God saw the oppression of the Philistines, and God cared about their situation. God also wanted David to care for these people. And David himself wanted to go. And we see in David this portrait of caring, a man who cared for these people. Caring means, caring is, it's love that's put into action, right? It's loving someone, and then that love moves us to do something, right? In some way to help them out. And so that's what I want to see in David tonight. It's God's will for us that we care for people, right? We understand that in the Word of God. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when it's talking about the church as a body, it says that there should be no schism in the body, but that members should have the same care one for another. All right, so that's our foundation, right? We need to be caring for people, right? We look around and we see the body where Christ has put us, this church, and we know that as a church family, we need to care for one another. We also understand that God loves the world, and so he wants us to also care for people outside of these four walls, right? And just care for the people that God has put around us. But caring, it can be hard sometimes. Caring is not without its competition, right? We face competition when it comes to caring. I saw the other day that the University of Wisconsin, they put out a paper that set out some rules for how their intramural lacrosse teams picked their names, which is kind of like a real niche paper, right? So here's this university, right, that's talking to their students that said, listen, if you put together a lacrosse team amongst yourselves, you have to follow these specific guidelines for naming. One of the rules was you can't have anything offensive, right? It can't be an offensive name. So all those things you're thinking of that are offensive, you can't use those. You can't duplicate, right? You can't name yourself another team's name. But then another rule was this. You can't have any competitively unfair names. Right, that's what he said. No competitively unfair names. You know, how does a name, what do you name your team, give you an unfair advantage? And they said, particularly in regard to how people read the schedules. So they put out these schedules for these games, right? And they will have this team versus this team on this field, this day, this time, right? And so people would be reading those schedules, and they said, here's some names you cannot choose. When they put them on the schedule, you can't choose the team name "No Game." You can't choose the team name "Canceled." You can't choose the team name "Team Spot Available," because you can see how you come up to the schedule and you have your team, and then you say, "Oh, canceled. Guess we don't have a game." Or "Team Spot Available." You go, "Oh, I guess they didn't have a team for us to play against," and so you don't show up because of how you read the schedule. And they said you're not allowed to do that. But I thought that's pretty smart, right? Because if you can get the other team to not show up, that's an automatic win, right? You don't even have to play. You can go do homework or whatever, right? An automatic win if there's no competition. It's just an easy victory. Caring's not always that easy because of the competition that we face. And really the competition is, for example, in Matthew chapter 13, when Jesus Christ is talking about the parable of the sower, right? And we're familiar with this. When he went out to sow the seed, he was sowing it on several different types of ground. One of the types of ground was the thorns. And the Bible says those thorns are the cares of this world that grow up and choke the seed. We face those same cares, right? The cares of the world that clamor for our attention and that fill our life up with a lot of different things. Those cares are there, like competing against, caring for people in our life. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25, the Lord said, he said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, that ye shall what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? It can be that we're just caring for the necessities of life, right? The things that we kind of have to have. That's what it mentions in Matthew 6, like, eating and drinking and clothes, which are all important things. Things that we go, I have to take care of those things, right? I have to make sure those are present, right? As just part of life. All of that kind of can grow up in our life and really hold our focus many times. And we're competing against those cares for the time and the resources and sometimes like the emotional, mental resources of also then caring for someone else. There's another competition. Matthew chapter 2 and verse, or Philippians chapter 2 and verse 20 and 21 is, as Paul's talking about Timothy, he says this about him. He says, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. But then he says this, that all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. We also face the competition of like self-centeredness that all of us are prone to, right? Focusing on me and the things that I've got going on and what I want to accomplish. There's all these different cares and options that we have that we're constantly always like dividing our attention among these different things. And even good things take up emotional space and take up mental space and take up time in our life. It can get to the point where we just go, I don't have time to deal with someone else. I don't have time to care for someone else. I've got so much other stuff going on. But despite all of that, despite all the other options, God calls us to care for others. And right now, there are people in your life, there are people around you that God wants you to care for. God has put people in your circles that he says, you need to care for this person. You need to help them. You need to show love to this person in the things that you do and how you help them. And so what I want to do tonight is from 1 Samuel 23, as we see David caring about these people in this town and then going to them to help them, I want to learn two lessons that we can learn from David about caring and how we can care. Here's the first lesson. From verse 2 down through verse 4, we need to be secure in God's care for us first. We need to be secure knowing that God cares for us. So in verse 2, David asks the Lord, he says, should I go down and smite them? And the Lord says, go, smite the Philistines. Then in verse 3, David's men said unto him, behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? And verse 4, David asks again of the Lord, and the Lord again says, go. David and his men understood that to go to this town would mean that they were putting themselves at even more risk. They're already at risk from Saul, and now it's like they're going to pick another battle. They're already like have one person chasing them. Now they're going to go fight another battle, and there's the very real possibility in their mind that they go there and Saul finds them, that they're not in hiding anymore. They're coming out in the open to fight against the Philistines. They're going to go be in a town full of people. Who knows who's there? And it turns out that Saul is going to find out that they're there. But they were facing all of these added risks if they went to this town. Except it wasn't a risk. Because in verse 4, the Lord tells him to do it. And he says, I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand. God was saying, I'll take care of you. If you go down there and care for these people, he says, I'll take care of you. I will protect you. I will keep you safe. And so David, secure in the promise God had made to him, that God would take care of them, he goes then to care for these other people. The promises of God to us are that strong foundation from which we then can branch out to care for other people. When we understand how much God cares for us and that God will take care of all of that, we can then say, okay, I can leave all this with the Lord. I can leave my life with the Lord and care for someone else. If we're too worried about ourselves and our focus is entirely inward, we're not going to see the needs of other people and we won't be in a position to go help someone else. We won't be in a position to care for someone else because we're so focused on the cares of our life. And I think we've all been there where we see a need or we see someone who needs to be cared for, but we just go, I've got too much going on. I've got everything that I'm trying to get done. It's a busy time. I've got all of this going on. We're like, I can't add one more thing to my plate right now. I think we've all been at times like that. Right? We're all busy and we've all got things going on. But Philippians 2:4 still tells us, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. The Lord is saying somehow you got to be able to not only look at your own things, but also the needs of others. And it's when we understand what God has promised us about how he takes care of us, that we can also then look on the needs of others. Matthew chapter 6. Go with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. In the promises of God, we find security. We find the fact that God cares for us. And in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 30, it says, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye little faith?" Right? So there's the promise. God's going to take care of you. God's going to meet all of these needs in your life and handle all of this for you. So then verse 31, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." So if we know that God knows we have need of all these things and that he'll take care of them, they don't need to hold our attention. They don't need to have all of our attention focused on these things. And then that brings us to verse 33. Well, if we know God takes care of all of that, it then frees us up to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Understanding how much God cares for us and trusting him, it frees us up to not have to devote all of our energy toward us. And then we can start to branch out and care for other people. And here's what I want to do. I want to read some verses that are just, they're promises of God from the Bible. And as we read these, I want you to think about what believing these promises then frees you up to be able to do, right? And how it takes all of that mental energy and leaves it with God. So Deuteronomy 31 and verse 8. "And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." Psalm 23, 4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Psalm 55, 22. "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Romans 8, 28. "We know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Philippians 4, 19. "But my God shall supply all your need, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." If we let God use these promises to take a lot of stuff off our plate, we're then able to care for other people. But it starts with that being secure in God, being secure in who you know God is and what God has said that he will do for you. And then we can go help other people knowing that God is our helper. We can go care for other people knowing God cares for us. David took this promise from the Lord and said, "All right, if the Lord says he's going to take care of me, he's going to go help us defeat the Philistines, let's go. We don't have to worry about it. We can go care for them because God will take care of us." But then here's the second lesson. Back in 1 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 5, if we're secure in knowing that God cares for us, then number two, we can let God care for others through us. That's the second lesson. Let God care for others through you. So in verse 5, David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. David cared for these people. And I think we see the heart of David as the king, like the king of Israel, that these were his people, that God was developing this heart in David where, like a protective heart and a caring heart for these people. But that was God working in David's heart. And it was God working because God cared for these people. As much as David cared for them, God cared more. And this is true, right? As much as we care for someone, we don't care as much as God does. We will never love someone as much as God loves them. And all of these verses that we read tell us that God cares more than we do. Philippians 5, 7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." But God's care for these people, for this town, was shown through how David cared, right? God was showing his care for them through a person, through a group of people. And that's how God shows his care sometimes, is through others. And specifically tonight, through us, right? That's a way God can show that he cares for this church, is by the people in this church. That's how God can show that he cares for your family members or the people at work, is through you and how you care for them. And one great example of this is that God, the Father, showed that he cared for us through Jesus Christ. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Right? This is how we see that God the Father cared for us, is because Jesus Christ came and he died for us. God wants to show everyone around you that he cares for them, and he's going to do it through you. He's going to try to use you to show that to people. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. There's a job that we've been given. And in verse 20 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says that, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. We are God's representatives. We're his ambassadors. Back in August, the U.S. ambassador to Japan went and he laid a wreath on the Hiroshima Peace Memorial. They had a like a ceremony. He was there to lay a wreath on this memorial from World War II. And the memorial is, I believe it's the only structure that's left standing in the area where the first atomic bomb was dropped. And so there was this ceremony. He was invited to take part in it. So he went there with a wreath and he laid the wreath on this memorial. And he said this. He said, with each visit I make to Hiroshima, I feel ever more determined to continue to strengthen the bonds of friendship and alliance between the United States and Japan. Right? He gives this statement saying, I'm here as a representative of my country to show you that my country wants an alliance with you and to strengthen the bonds of friendship. He wasn't there just on himself saying, I want to be your friends. He was saying, I'm on behalf of my country, this is what we desire. That's what God sends us to do. To look at whether it's church members or people outside of this church, to go with a message, not necessarily with our words, but certainly with our actions, that our Heavenly Father cares about them. And God says, I want you to do that by caring for them. By your actions of love toward them, show them what God the Father is trying to tell them, that he cares for them. And God is waiting to use us to communicate his love and his care to all the people around us. So we need to care for others on the behalf of God. And it doesn't have to be the big things, right? I'm not saying that you need to go out and buy cars for people. Go, hey, on behalf of God, here's a brand new car. That'd be nice, but you know, I don't think we can all afford to do that. It can be the little things, right? How many times have we been encouraged by someone just saying, I prayed for you? And we go, oh, thank you. And then it hits even harder when you're going through something. You know, when you're really struggling with something, it's been a bad day or a bad week, and someone goes, hey, I prayed for you. And just, it can just be that, something small that shows that you care for them and that reminds them how much God cares for them. It's the little things. It can be a small thing that has a big impact on people, but just something that shows how much you care. And this is what David did. Now, what David did was enormous in their life, protecting their lives and their property. But David was this portrait of someone who cared for them because God cared for them. And this is what God wants to do through us. We need to let God care for people through us. But you know, we come down to the end of the story back in 1 Samuel 23, and the end of the story is not great for David. So he gets there, he delivers them, God blesses them with victory, God delivers the people of Keilah. And then we have verse 7, it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah, and Saul said, God hath delivered him into mine hand, for he is shut in by entering into a town that hath gates and bars. Saul's wrong, right? God hasn't delivered him into his hand, but Saul in verse 8 calls all the people together to war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. And to finish the story, David finds out that Saul is coming there, and he asks the Lord, he goes, am I going to be safe if I stay here, or are the people going to turn me over to Saul? And the Lord says, yeah, bad news. They're going to betray you. These people are going to turn you over. After all David did, after David risked his life to come deliver these people, they were going to like give him over to, they were going to hand him over to Saul. And you go, well, some thanks he got for caring for these people. And can I tell you, sometimes it might be like that. Maybe not this bad, but there's some times where you won't get anything back from caring for people. Not in this life anyways. But we know what the Bible says. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10, God's not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. God's going to take care of it. God will reward you for what you do. Just keep caring. Just keep caring for them. God knew they were going to do this to David, and yet he still cared enough to send David to them to deliver them. God will use you if you just care for people. And I want to challenge you tonight to pick someone in your life that you can care for this week. Someone that God lays on your heart, but pick a person tonight and say, you know what, I'm going to do something this week. Again, you don't have to buy him a car. I'm not asking you to do that. But find something, right? God will lay something on your heart that you could do. Just like a phone call or a text or something. But just pick someone that God lays on your heart and somehow this week show them that God cares for them through you. Show them that you care for them. And trust God with your stuff. Trust God with your life. Trust that God will take care of you this week, that God will meet all your needs. Trust God that even as you give some of the hours that you don't have to give, that God will multiply the rest, that God will make you productive and that you'll get things done or he'll take something off your plate. But trust God. Trust God with your life. Be secure in the fact that God cares for you, and then reach out to someone else and care for someone else in your life. You know, I sometimes find myself saying the phrase, I don't care. I say, you know, Eric will say, what do you want? I go, I don't care for supper, whatever. You know, I don't care. But even though we say that, right, we probably say that a bunch, there's still a lot that we do care about in our life. We've all got stuff that we're caring about and that we're focused on in our life. But for a moment, let's pick our eyes up, lift our eyes from everything that we've got going on, all that's on our plate and all that we're busy with, and let's care for someone else. God wants to use us this week. God's got something he wants you to do. Some person that he wants you to minister this week that he's going to lay on your heart. Cast all your care upon him. He cares for you. And then find someone else and care for them. And be that portrait of caring. And God will do that for you. God will free you up to care for someone else. He's got someone for you to care for. Be that portrait of caring for someone else as God cares for you and as he cares for them. All right, let's close with prayer. Lord, I'm so thankful tonight that you care for us. Lord, that we know that from the Word of God and we've seen that in our own lives. Lord, forgive us for the times that we've been so self-centered that we've missed what other people are going through and we've missed opportunities to care for someone else. Lord, may that not happen this week. We pray that you would lay someone upon all of our hearts. Lord, even tonight, just bring someone to mind that you want us to care for this week. And Lord, help us to trust you enough to reach out and to look beyond ourselves to the needs of someone else. Help us to be a blessing this week. Well, thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.